Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back in. Talking some Major League Baseball there on the way out to break. And, you know, here's the deal. We've seen some trades go down in the last couple of days. Well, how are our Atlanta Braves going to handle this? And if you don't call them your Atlanta Braves, Patrick, quite frankly, you're in a little bit of trouble with me.
I'm a Braves fan.
Okay,
I am. My roommate is a Mets fan, and my mother is a Yankees fan. How we all coherently get along, I don't know.
Well, I think the one thing, the Braves are very fortunate right now to only be a half game out of first place with the crappy bullpen they've had all year long.
I
mean, they've literally gotten pitching from the starting end of things none of us really thought were possible. And listen, they've got some stacked arms down lower levels. So here's the thing. They're not going to be just parting with talent just to pick up rental players. That's the one that I'm interested to see. But one that apparently they've already reached out to is Baltimore Orioles' Zach Britton. Here's a guy in the bullpen. His last several outings with the Orioles has gotten increasingly more sharp. As a matter of fact, ESPN's Jerry Krasnick says that the Braves are actively out there searching for bullpen help, and that the Braves have talked to the Orioles about Zach Britton, so you can add them to the list of teams in the mix. Atlanta's needs bullpen help and has a lot of talent in the system. A lot depends on how deep Alex Anthopoulos is willing to dig for a rental player. And, of course, that's the new GM there in the Braves system. So they got a ton of talent. You can't be at this point right now. You either got to make a decision here in the next 2 weeks. We're in it for this thing, or we know we're still 1 year away when we're going to be able to hit the free agent market with a ton of money that we've been backrolling. But if you got a few extra arms, a little bit of talent down there, I think you got to make a run for now, because there are no guarantees next year that Bryce Harper or anybody else signs with the Atlanta Braves.
And the thing is like we already know now what you've got. We're well beyond the halfway point. You kind of already see, all right, this is the team. This is how they kind of operate. This is how they kind of get their runs and stuff like that. And you already can make a decision. They're in contention and have a good shot of winning the division.
When everybody nobody's got a chance to knock off the Nationals.
Exactly.
This is listen.
The Phillies are leading. The Phillies.
They're making a play, I think, for Cole. Is it Cole Hamels?
I think so. Didn't Jake Arnett go over there? Arrieta, did he go over to the Phillies? Because I was remembering a report. I think he did. Over the offseason, he went to the Phillies, and then like week two, he was telling them, we need to get a different attitude into this clubhouse. And with the Cubs, we had a winning attitude. The Phillies didn't have that. They changed the momentum. The Phillies are now leading the NL East. The Braves are right behind it. The Nationals are close. No one thought they thought this was going to be a runaway division. The Braves can win this division. You just got to put in a little bit more.
All right. Is it fair to say Walmart absolutely won that exchange with the Tennessee guy on Twitter earlier
we were talking about?
You ready to own a Philadelphia Philly fan that's here in town?
Okay.
Visiting family and tweets GMAC about, I'm down in Greenville visiting in-laws with your station on in my truck. I hate to break it to you all about the Braves, but the National League East is the Phillies division again. Leave it to a real sports city. It's going to be at Eagles versus at Atlanta Falcons all over again, kiddo. And then hits me up and says, at Sturgis Sports, read and learn, buddy. Atlanta is a god-awful sports town. They do have they have been in a couple of Super Bowls. They have a Major League Baseball championship. And the thing is, the best part about me leaving Philadelphia last year from the Army Navy game was getting on the plane and leaving Philadelphia. Now, I got some great friends up there that own a business and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. This guy wants to rail on anything Atlanta-wise as compared to what I witnessed and saw up there in Philadelphia. Be my guest. Call in. We'll go at it. Hey, the Eagles finally got off the snide, and I love Carson Wentz, but let me tell you something, buddy. You're going to come down to my city and you're going to start trolling me on Twitter about Atlanta sports when I just went up to Philadelphia and saw what Philadelphia is all about?
Exactly.
Stay up there as far as I'm concerned. Don't come down here talking smack. Let me tell you something. The Drowned God is the nickname on Twitter. Name me the Drowned G-A-W-D God. The Drowned God is the Twitter account.
What kind of Twitter handle is that?
It's pretty lame in its own right. But let me ask this guy that's down here talking smack about Atlanta and promoting Philadelphia. Tell me the last time you've heard somebody say, I'm going to go retire up north. 844-GSP-ESPN. Drowned God, if you want to, if you have an answer for somebody that's down here, you know, that has retired up north at any point in their life, and that includes Philadelphia, give me a call, baby, because like I said, they are coming down here in droves from up north. They know what it's all about. That's the South, baby. You're down here visiting your in-laws.
Not only that, Atlanta had a hockey team. Where was Philly's hockey team?
Well, didn't Flyers pretty bad. I mean,
oh, that's right. But we don't talk about the Flyers.
But you're a Nationals guy. Listen, I love the Flyers.
We don't talk about the Flyers.
I love the old Flyers in the 70s. What were they? They were like the meanest team that ever played in the NHL, had more penalty minutes than any other. And
they still do, but that's just because they don't know how to play hockey.
Listen, thank you for listening to our station. But again, you go call and give us some smack about Atlanta down the road. Just understand, I went to the Army-Navy game in Philadelphia. And by the way, the biggest joke about Philadelphia, okay, if you go to Philly, where do you think you're going to eat a cheesesteak? There's two places that we get told about all the time.
Pat's and Gina's.
Everybody in Philly says that is nothing but a tourist joke.
Yep.
And we got taken to D'Alessandro's, and man, it was next level. Absolutely next level. So
I Philly is a place I want to go visit. Because here's the thing.
They got an awesome setup with their stadiums there, with the football stadium, the basketball arena, and then the baseball stadium all right there, kind of sharing a parking lot mm-hmm. right there.
So. I do want to go visit Philly because I think there's an awesome food culture and stuff like that. Fans are passionate. They love their sports.
They hate each other. That's what I figured out. Yeah. So.
Like here in the South, we'll hate our team before we hate each other.
Right. Exactly. Listen. You can pick on Georgia all you want to until you're from the North and start picking on the University of Georgia. Then we're all going to circle each other in
exactly.
arms, you know what I mean? And attack on one of us. But listen, I hope you're having a great weekend, great time here in the Upstate. And I would recommend to you go out there and check out Smoke on the Water this weekend.
There you go.
Yeah, so, that was fun. I it's just looking like we've been to the last two Army-Navy games. Not going to be able to do it this year in Philadelphia, and really, I hate that because outside of the he's replying, oh no, I'm so hurt you don't like Philly. The Flyers have two cups, two hockey teams left Atlanta. That's right, because we play Golfdale here because you rednecks don't understand hockey. Flaves and Thrashers, I'm very critical of Flyers, but it's not your place to talk crap. I was just talking about how fun it was in the 70s, man.
You know, it is my place to talk crap because my team is the reigning defending Stanley Cup champions.
Oh, this is opening up the can of words here. I'm just saying,
I can because my team is a reigning defending Stanley Cup champions.
Thank you. I need this an hour before I go on vacation. Now but, Billy's in going, Mark, you can't win an argument with an Eagles fan. You got a better chance of winning an argument with a rock or a wall.
Now, here's the thing. Love the Flyers, love the passion, love everything about them. But the thing is, they are a step below where they need to be. That is a historic organization that I have nothing but respect for. And I can joke around saying that they don't count or anything like that.
Now, as far as the NBA is concerned, when we were up there for Army-Navy, we went to see the 76ers play the Lakers, no less. Mm-hmm. Now, we had had a ridiculously long day of travel and gone up to North Philly to go to Hank's Beverages. And they're the ones that took us to D'Alessandro's. I think it's NBA basketball as a whole. I don't think it's just Philadelphia. I was bored silly. Mm-hmm. We left at the end of the third quarter. Number two, dudes wearing jerseys to games with no T-shirt underneath. I'm sorry. We have rules down here. You leave wearing the jerseys to the game to the young kids. You know what I mean? And let them go do that. Dudes 35 years old shouldn't be wearing jerseys to NBA games unless they got a long sleeve T-shirt or something on underneath it.
Yeah, I don't like. Personally, I've never been a fan of just the jersey.
Yeah.
Have something underneath it or something like that. That's just me personally, but I've been to a few Hornets games, and there are people like that. I'm just like, I will buy you a T-shirt. Just put it on.
He's got to understand. He's like, the Drowned God is apparently a Game of Thrones reference. I don't know. I've got a 17-year-old. I don't get to watch that stuff. So, listen, we had a great time in Philadelphia. I was just giving you a hard time. I tell you what they did right up there is where their new stadiums are, both the football mm-hmm. and the baseball, and then their arena as well. Boom, it's right there next to the interstate all together. And when you get into those major cities, you know, property is a huge, huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well just go ahead and share the parking lots, and they've done that, and they did a really, really good thing. And then there's this sports bar, like about a half a mile away. Dude, this thing was a grocery store at one point. It's the biggest sports bar I've ever been to. It's like Chicken Fills or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Now, I will say this. On my bucket list of sports arenas I have to go see, I do want to go see a Flyers game in Philly.
Really?
Because they're
just not a hockey guy.
I mean, it's like one of the things where Blackhawks, Penguins, Rangers,
weren't they one of the original six?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, those are the teams I want to go see because the hockey fan base are very passionate. They're very loyal. And to me, that screams a good time. Even if it's a team that I have in there that I have no dog in the fight, I just want to go watch it.
Do I go up in your book that the one of two professional hockey games I've ever been to is at the MCI Center in Washington? We saw the Canucks and the Caps play. We were up there for the final Clemson-Maryland game. Before Maryland left to go to the Big Ten. And we've never been to a hockey game before. And one of the before we get out to break, we'll get back on track. Drowned God, I hope you have a great trip down here. We're just having some fun with you. And again, make sure if you're in town, I'll give you three choices. Hit one of the three. Smoke on the Water, Bada Bing Pizza, or the Spice Diner out at Five Forks. But this was the highlight. This is what got the biggest cheer at the Canucks Capital game that year. Ovechkin was playing, so he was part of the team. Some dude got laid out right in front of the is it called the goalie box? The little rectangle.
The goal.
So I'm talking, he's down for like 20 minutes, bleeding like an SOB. I mean, we thought for about 2 minutes the guy might be dead because he wasn't moving. So after they get him up and moving around and get him on the stretcher and off the ice, there's blood on the ice, all right? So the guys come out and they start with a hockey stick taking the ice that's got blood on it and scooping it toward the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And when they finally crossed the blue line of the goal with it, everybody in the arena stood up and started cheering. I'm like, wait a second, man. That's hardcore right there. You know, here's this guy that doesn't even know what his name is right now. We cheer when his blood gets pulled over the blue line.
Well, because you know he's in the back. And as soon as he got, you know, conscious and remember who he was, he wanted back in.
Dude, this guy, I'm going to give him a follow. The NBA is up there with the NFL as the greatest sport in the country. You guys are missing out. I think college football and NASCAR are overrated, so I guess we'll agree to disagree. I wish I could call, but I'm in a packed car with women who don't want to hear me. Oh, that is so great, man. I love it. That is too cool. Please call in at some point when you don't have the women around. And I tell you what, if you hit me up at Sturgis Sports, well, obviously you are already, I might have to have a beverage waiting on him at Smoke on the Water if he's got a car full of women that don't want him to call into a sports show. But the only thing, I do agree with one of his comments. NASCAR. Nah, don't get it.
I
can get everything I want out of NASCAR in about a 60-second highlight on ESPN. And show me the wrecks first before you show me the checkered flag. College football, I'm sorry. That's where, you know, that's where the passion is. I went to Alabama. We got Clemson. But let me tell you, the most passionate that I've ever seen in college football – that doesn't have all the screw you nastiness that we get into is what we went up there to Philadelphia for the Army-Navy game. We were fortunate. We saw it in Baltimore the year before. And dude, that's a high. That in Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Little League World Series, probably the two highlights of my career.
Do you think that's kind of like one of those things where because he lives in Philly,
yeah,
that it's a major sports town? Like here in South Carolina, we don't have any pro teams. Like college sports are our sports. Those are the professional teams to us.
I love my Twitter account. I'm now getting jokes. Oh, that I can't repeat on the air. And they're not related to, well, maybe they are. But the point is, it's sports. It's fun. And thanks for listening. And I hope your in-laws are here. And listen, I will give you, and I mean this wholeheartedly, I'll give you an get the women to smoke on the water. Maybe you can call in. But I am on vacation next week, but I'd love to hear from you at some time. As far as Robbie G's tweet to me just a few minutes ago, I would like to be able to come back from vacation and have my job. So, but Robbie G, if you're listening, the thing is guess what? Beaver Stadium in Ohio State's, God, did you see the situation? Like 100 people are claiming they were abused by the doctor back in the day with Ohio State. So, something in Big Ten teams and abuse and locker room, just not a good thing going on. All right, we'll get back on schedule here when we come back. The British Open. Listen, I got one more interview that I want to bring you, and that's my buddy Dave Kane. He's the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers. We met. He had been on the job like 4 days, and he was rocking it all. So we'll bring that to you as well. 844-GSP-ESPN. Also, when we come back, I know I'm leaving on vacation tomorrow, but I know what I'm doing tonight. All right, so you ready for Twitter? Donald Trump's after the NFL again.
Now, of course
he is. The NFL and the Players Association released a joint statement last night saying that they are the NFL and the NFL Players Association, through recent discussions, have been working on a resolution to the anthem issue. In order to allow this constructive dialogue to continue, we have to come to a standstill agreement on the NFL Players Association grievance and on the NFL's anthem policy. No new rules relating to the anthem will be issued or enforced for the next several weeks while these confidential discussions are ongoing. The NFL and NFL Players Association reflect the great values of America, which are repeatedly demonstrated by the many players doing extraordinary work in the communities across our country to promote equality, fairness, and justice. Then it goes on to say, our shared focus will remain on finding a solution to the anthem issue through a mutual good faith commitments outside of litigation. All right, listen, first of all, I get Sundays off. I work 6 days a week, including college football Saturdays. I get Sunday off. That's my one day to be with my wife and child. My child's going to be a junior in high school this year. I'm not pissing that way. The NFL can't come to some kind of situation in which they get the players to stand for the national anthem. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, are things perfect in this country? No.
No.
But guess what? Kneeling for the national anthem disrespects my grandfather that fought in World War I so we could have this freedom. Go look at all the people that lost their life. I get it. You're making a protest over something else. But kneeling for the national anthem is, in my personal opinion, it's nothing but disrespectful to every family that has had somebody give their ultimate sacrifice in losing their life in a war. Those are the people that gave you the right to go out there and kneel on the sidelines. I don't buy for a minute that all this stuff is up. Viewership, blah, blah, blah. It's going down. The only reason that the money went up last year was due to a contract signed a few years ago where more television money's coming in. I know when I go have an adult beverage where I like to go with my friends, they're all like, dude, the NFL's dead to me with this. So at some point, this is going to play out. I have no motivation. We got Panther season tickets. I have no motivation to go put myself in that situation if I'm going to watch somebody kneel. It is their right, but because it's your right, doesn't mean you have to do it. I know they're trying to promote something else. I look at it as that is a middle finger, the ultimate middle finger to every single family that has had someone give the ultimate sacrifice in letting this country be where it is. I'm not blind to the issues that are going on, but kneeling for the national anthem is and will always be nothing but disrespectful in my book. And there's no middle ground on it, by the way.
No, no, and that's fine. And the way I view it, I'm like, yeah, they can do it. It is in their first.
I can go run naked down the street.
What I'm saying is it's their First Amendment right. It's their freedom to protest. That's fine. I understand that. For me, I don't agree with it. I don't like it. And the reason I don't like it is because I just feel like the national anthem has been a something that we've all stood for and stuff like that in sporting events that I learned as a kid to go, hey, this is to remember everyone and this is to salute the country. This is for the country. And the thing is for me is when I see things like this, fine, your First Amendment right. I understand that. Good for you for exercising it. But the thing is, I don't like the way you're doing it with this, where there are times where I'll see people in the national anthem. I'll give you a great example. The Boston bombing.
Mm-hmm.
First sporting event was the Boston Bruins. 20,000 people in Boston sang the national anthem. Why? Because it was a symbol to say, hey, we are America. We're going to overcome this.
I am fortunate. I'm getting to visit three different countries next week on our vacation. I have traveled all over this world. I've been in Europe. I've been in Scandinavia, the Caribbean, Mexico. I counted up 23 different countries I've been fortunate enough to, and there may be a few more that I'm forgetting about. This is the greatest country on this earth.
I agree.
We have issues. Every time I leave here, I kiss the ground when I get back. The people that have never been anywhere are the ones that want to tear it down. Now, I'm all for paying my taxes and making it better, but the NFL is about to make me feel bad about things. I stay away from things that I feel bad about.
I'll always watch the NFL, okay? I don't agree with what their players are doing. That's fine. I look at it in the way of my friends, okay? If my friends had a different political leaning than I did, and they said some things I didn't agree with or did things I didn't agree with, politically, like politically motivated stuff like that, that's fine. I can live with that. But the thing is, at the end of the day, we're still friends. As long as me and you are still friends, yes, and still goods, like that's all I'm worried about. Mm-hmm. And so for the NFL, I have that kind of relationship with the NFL. I don't agree with what some of the players do, even on my own team that I support and I root for. But the thing is, at the end of the day, I will still watch the product.
Again, mine is with doing all this stuff all day on Saturday, and you get one day to be with your wife and child. Again, it makes me feel bad. Listen, I've lived here. I know what goes on. I realize the struggles that they have been through, that everybody's been through. My family's been through.
Yeah.
But again, it's the flag, and we fought in wars, and football is about to screw up and make people start feeling bad. And when that happens, guess what? You're going to see with more cord cutting going on, revenue start to go down. I mean, that's why I maintain the SEC network was genius. They put it out there ahead of the last collapse of the economy, and they're the only ones that can get away with it. I am a red-blooded American. I pay my taxes every single year. It just doesn't make me feel good about it, so therefore I will avoid it. And my question is, are there going to end up being more people like me down the line? I don't know, but
I think there will be.
It's all I can do.
Because the thing is like we can already see it from – just last year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we saw people, and this is the power and the curse of social media, okay? Because one action will either help the cause or hurt the cause. And in some people's eyes, they saw the protests and go, you know what? That's great, because we saw them exercise the First Amendment and bring light to a subject. But then you got the other half of social media saying, what are you doing? Like, this isn't right.
I don't know. I don't get into sporting events is my escape from politics in real life. It's not bringing another situation to it. Our family, we've had season tickets to the Panthers since their original season here in Death Valley and Clemson. This was the first offseason where we've ever had a discussion if we were getting rid of them. Now, the age has a little something to do with it, things of that nature as well, but it's been a great investment. is for our family as well. But this was it was about the flag. So, you know, again, there's no perfect answer to any of this stuff. But again, personally, I'm into sports to forget about real life. I've got enough issues that go on. So I don't need to be made to feel bad about it. Now, that's me personally. Doesn't mean it has to be everybody. It's just my personal opinion. But I will also say this. I have a friend of mine whose family is from Holland. They are required to put at least one, if not 2 years, military service in if you are Dutch. So, there's some benefits for them doing that. I would in this country, if you are 18 years old and you graduate high school and you do what you're supposed to do, you go on to college, you go to work, you go into the military, whatever, sometime around 21 or 22 when you're starting to, maybe give them $2,000, you got to go visit two other countries. Because, again, this is the greatest country on this earth. And it's not close.
No.
And I have been – now, I haven't been to Scandinavia, to Norway. But I've been by – but I just – that's the way I feel about it, and I'm sorry. It's something that makes me feel bad. And, again, I'm not in the – or I don't know if I'm in the minority or not, at least within my inner circle of friends. I'm not in the minority when it comes to this. Everybody's kind of giving the middle finger to Roger Goodell and the NFL right now. And, listen, it's not a one-year thing that will hurt the league. It will be over the course of 5 or 6 years. So, you know, they're going to get together and try to get – just don't bring them out. That would be my answer. Make them stay back there. Because I think in the rule book of the NFL, it states players must stand at attention on the sidelines with their hand over the heart while the anthem is being played. And that's why what precipitated all this were the Miami Dolphins. You saw what they were getting ready to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were going to suspend a player up to 4 games. Crap. Jameis Winston just settled another assault case. He's out 3 games. We saw the situation with the wide receiver whose girlfriend was beat down in the elevator. He got 2 games, Ray Rice, but now he can't get back in the league. Come on, keep this in the context of what it is. Don't suspend somebody more for kneeling for a national anthem than it's committed sexual assault or anything else of that nature. Let's also get this in the correct context of things.
First of all, why are you suspending players for national anthem kneeling?
The Dolphins were writing it into their code of conduct.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is for me, first offense, fine. Second offense, 1 game suspension. Like, I don't like game suspensions for something that that's something like that.
Right.
Like, Jameis Winston got suspended 3 games for abusing Uber drivers, but Tom Brady gets suspended 4 for deflating footballs.
Yeah, let's keep it in the context of what
Come
it
on,
is.
People.
All right, let's get out to break. Couple of more segments left. We'll give you the British Open leaderboard. Also, told you, I know what I'm doing tonight before I go get on that airplane tomorrow, and it's going to require watching something on my laptop. One final interview from ACC football kickoff. This is my buddy Dave Kane, the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers. Mark Childress, we're sitting here at ACC football kickoff in Charlotte. And I don't know, about 8 years ago, I come walking in from San Francisco down in Georgia. And the foursome, that's why we used to come here, is to play golf. It's the new voice of the Virginia Cavaliers, Dave Kane, who is sitting down with us. And let me tell you, I don't care, Kansas, Vermont, whatever, I would cut your legs off for his voice.
Oh, I agree. Just when I met him a second ago, right. I was like, oh, envious already.
So, Dave, listen, it's football season. Last year's been put to bed. What are we hoping for out of Virginia this year? Because a couple of years ago, when y'all slid Bronco Mendenhall away from BYU, I thought that was one of the best hires I've seen in a long time.
Well, let me first of all say, keep your legs. The voice will not get you any further than your legs will. But, as far as Bronco, what are the expectations? I think, you know, I've gone through this at some level. Virginia is a different place. It just is from a standpoint of athletics. It's a different type of kid you're recruiting to Virginia. And you know, you have to know that. And it, to that sense, you have to hire coaches a little bit differently. And I think Bronco is a different kind of coach in terms of what he his expectations are, in terms of how he goes about things. And he's not altogether different from Tony Bennett, Virginia's men's basketball coach, who also came in feeling like he needed to do this with a slow build. And it was slow. I mean, here in year three, when I think back to basketball under Tony Bennett, we were thinking, boy, is this thing going to turn? You know, because it takes some time, and sure enough, I think it was year four or five when it really did. Football typically even takes longer than that. You know, I mean, that this is the aircraft carrier that you just don't turn on a dime. And so I think we started to see signs of progress last year, but the biggest challenge that Broncos had is building depth. There just hasn't been depth, and I think that the program, when he took it over, you did have some decent top-line talent, but you didn't have anyone to back him up. You had no margin for error, and that still continues to plague this Cavalier bunch to some measure. But I think this year you have a much more manageable schedule for Virginia, and that's a key component. Mm-hmm. If you guys remember back about 5-6 years ago, Virginia was playing one of the hardest schedules in the country year in, year out, going all the way across the country, playing teams on the West Coast. That's not happening anymore, and I think it's probably a bit more appropriate for where the program is right now. So maybe in a couple of years, Virginia opens up with Georgia in 2020 at the Chick-fil-A.
Three games in, what, 3 days that weekend.
Right,
that's great,
right.
But that's great exposure for it Virginia.
Is. But assuming you take advantage of it and make a decent showing of things. Now, if you get pasted, is it good exposure?
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, so you better hope you're ready by that time, and I think they will be, and we're seeing signs of that. But that is a long-winded question from a radio guy, and I'm trying to remember what the original question was.
Expectations, Serge, for the season.
Expectations, yep, for this season. Yeah, I think the expectation is you get back to the postseason. If you get back to a bowl game, it'd be the first time for Virginia, believe it or not, since 2004 and 5 when they had back-to-back bowl seasons. So that's kind of the funk that the Cavaliers find themselves in right now, and the bar's a little lower.
You mentioned the schedule, Richmond, Indiana, Ohio out of the box. It sounds like you can get some confidence built, get some wins under the belt before you lay into the ACC schedule. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is definitely, yeah, you've got to feel like you've got a very realistic chance of winning those games. But at the same time, Indiana's looking at this game saying, we've got a Virginia team that we just beat on the road at home this year because Indiana beat Virginia. I mean, look, you can't take anything for granted right now if you're Virginia. And that includes Ohio, an Ohio team that actually has a lot of players back from a team that was pretty darn good next last year. Kind of a scary game, a snake in the weeds kind of game, because if you win, everybody says, oh, you should have beaten them. But if you lose, which is very, you know, you don't want to sleep on these guys, and you got Richmond, you should hopefully be able to take care of that. But yeah, so you just can't take anything for granted, and all those little things are going to matter. And I think when Virginia looks at this season, at least from my perspective, the biggest question is going to be, as it has been for some time now, is the quarterback play. And you've got a new quarterback, a transfer in the form of Bryce Perkins, who has the ability to move. He's got good speed, but in my mind, the question is, how well can he throw when teams dare him to throw? And that's going to be a big part of the puzzle.
The other thing is you got to look at schedule, the home schedule. I mean, you get Louisville, you get Miami, you get North Carolina, Pitt. And, you know, that's where if you want to get to postseason,
yeah,
hold serve at home and then try to sneak one or two on the road.
A lot of 50-50 games.
Yes, lots.
A lot of 50-50 games on this schedule for the Cavaliers this year. And so with that, this thing could go any number of directions. But I think that this team returns a pretty good core defensively. I think they're going to be very stout on that side of things, but you need more than just defense. And you know, special teams. Virginia hasn't been under Bronco Mendenhall. Virginia has not had a kicker make a field goal over 40 yards.
Wow.
That's hard to believe in 2 years. And when you're a team that is scrapping and clawing like this team is, you cannot afford to leave points on the table. And that is something that they've got a freshman kicker coming in. We'll see how that happens. But some pieces that need to improve, but I think it is slowly improving. And I think this, if I had to guess, I think this team will be bowl eligible again this year. But time will tell.
All right, before we close up, Dave Kane, the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers, have you stopped and thought about your last few years? Number one, forget what happened in the NCAA tournament. Y'all won a baseball national.
I don't even know what you're talking
yes.
about.
But you know, going through being a number one seed in the ACC basketball tournament, a national championship yeah. in baseball, yeah. since you've taken over this Virginia, you know, voice of the Virginia Cavaliers, I have no doubt that, guess what, you'll get them back in football as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's all on you.
Yeah, right. right. The curse of Cain, no pain, no Cain, no pain. I don't know. It's just you can come up with any number of litany of expressions for this. But, yeah, it's been fun. I mean, I think Virginia is fun because you do have some different sports that can do, you know, make some noise. But football is the one, though, that everybody's talking about at UVA because you've got to get it turned around. In today's day and age of modern sports, that's the driver. I mean, it is the monetary driver, yep. And it's become the focus. And I think you have a new athletic director at Virginia, which has been kind of fun to see, in Carla Williams, who's been really energizing, I think, with some fresh perspective. And I think she really does grasp the importance of football and the need to improve facilities and get that thing going in the right direction. So that is the one missing ingredient, and it's a big one.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for making some time with us. Always great to see you. When I lay eyes on you, it feels like football season.
Hey, let's do it. I'm the same way, man. Ever since I've been here, Sturge, like you said, that's way back before. I think I could even grow a beard back
then.
No,
you didn't.
Know?
And golf game's still good. I mean, the dude back then could hit it a half a mile, but we
golf
didn't always know where we were
been
going.
Good. Yeah, so. Golf game has never been good, but it's par for what it was.
Par for the course. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate everything.
Right, and again, just wanted to hear that back over the speakers. I mean,
what a voice.
Not, he's like 34 years old. All
what
right?
a voice.
So, again, went to Kansas, left the University of Vermont as the voice. I mean, like at 28 years old, he was hired as the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers. And, you know, met him playing golf on the golf course at ACC football kickoff. And we've kept up ever since, and I think that was literally the first interview we did. Hey, Dave, come over here. All right. Yeah, because so anyway, it worked out really, really well. Let's go out to break. We'll close up shop. Remember, I'm back in like one time in the next 2 weeks after vacation. We're home for one day, and then it's back to the hospital. So anyway, it is what it is. North Carolina could be without up to a dozen football players at some point during the season after the school's self-reported NCAA violations for selling university-issued shoes and athletic gear. That's where we were talking about Free Shoes University coming up. According to the report, UNC reported the violations in February, which were deemed secondary in nature. We have high expectations of all of our students, coaches, and staff, and we expect everyone to abide and embrace the team and NCAA rules, North Carolina Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham said in a statement. We are disappointed when we fall short, but we always strive to be better.
Okay.
You remember FSU back in the day and all that stuff that went down with shoplifting, and guess what? They got named Free Shoes University. What are we going to do with North Carolina here?
Fedora. I was trying to think of like an acronym to go for UNC, and it doesn't work.
I don't know, but Fedora, listen, he's obviously he's on edge because he rock and rolled through there on Wednesday like nothing I've ever seen with some of his comments about talking to a general about the game of college football and said all you know the other countries in the world that are all in disarray, what's one thing they all have in common? No college football. It's like, all right, let's overreach. It's just a minute. All right, the other thing is, I told you guys there's something I'm doing tonight. You know, this is it. This is my final four or so minutes before we head out on vacation. I'm watching Last Chance U tonight. Season 3 premieres on Netflix. I'm looking forward to it, and it's not going to be about East Mississippi Community College. It's about a community college out there in Kansas by the name of Independence Community College. And apparently, from what I have heard, the coach likes to cuss on this field as well. You know, we heard all about Buddy Stevens and, you know, the way he treated people and blah, blah, blah. Well, from what I gather, that's sort of the same road that we are going down when it comes to this particular episode of Last Chance U.
I will say this. There's not many shows that me and my roommate will agree on because we only have one TV. So there's not many shows that me and him will agree on that we can watch together. Without a doubt, that is one of the shows that we cannot get enough of. Like, we watch it every time a new season comes up on Netflix, we watch it immediately.
Yeah, I think I watched all five. The first year they released them like once a week, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then I guess due to whatever was going on, I think the second season was released when my wife was going through her second battle with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I got down a month before I got, and I watched like all five in 2.5 hours. You know what I mean? So I like it because, you know, here's a chance that these kids, you know, for whatever reason, haven't reached their potential, get a chance to get it right again. And that's what it should be. That's what it should be about.
I agree. I love the show, though.
Yep. So, again, that's one thing I'll be doing tonight. Also, don't forget tomorrow, the final day of our 2018 Rock and Roll Up Your Sleeve Blood Drive. I mean, this thing has gone over great guns, but listen, you know, that's one thing that we never want when it comes to a natural disaster or a war or anything of those natures to be caught with a low blood supply. So you can continue to give at locations tomorrow, which include all over Greenville, not to mention Anderson, Simpsonville. Just come by Harley-Davidson here on Chrome Drive from 2 to 7 p.m. I mean, Newberry, Bowling Springs. But here's the deal. It's going really, really well. Day two today. So you know, that's one thing. Yeah, I don't even know. I guess they'll probably have me hooked up to a blood drip or something when I have my next surgery on August 1st. So, you know, there's something that could affect me right there. So, again, get out and give if you can. So, anyways, and Patrick, I got to be honest with you. I've had some fun with you here. I'm glad you got to get out there and play Carolina golf at Botany Woods this morning.
You've done a
great job this week filling in for Diesel. And
thank you.
You know, despite your demented, you know, low country, I think so well of myself kind of attitude, and you know, you're a Gamecock fan.
Come on.
So.
Why you got to diss the low country like that?
Because I'm not getting to go there this summer, and I'm mad. So it's their fault, not mine.
Okay, then. All right.
It's their fault, not mine.
I agree with you.
Okay.
Well, I need to take you down to Charleston. I'll show you the local spot.
I got my niece just had her first child, you know, my parents' first great-grandchild down. I can't get down there right now. We go on this trip, and then I've got that surgery on August 1st, and then there's like one day off between then and end of the year.
I ain't going anywhere. We'll find a day in the future.
All right. Childress has got you nailed down all next week. That includes Thursday at Panthers training camp up in Spartanburg. Remember, you can go park at Wild Wing Cafe, have some fun, have some food, then catch the shuttle bus right over to Gibbs Stadium for the opening of Panthers training camp on Thursday. So make sure you get over there. I will be back on Tuesday the 31st. Then I'm back out for 3 days for surgery. Hope all of y'all have a blessed week. I'm on vacation. I appreciate everything. Media Days is done. Don't forget Thursday. We do have Greenville County High School Football Media Days, if you will, at 4 p.m. there at Bon Secours Wellness Arena. But for everybody here at ESPN Upstate, including my producer today, Patrick Brown, I hope all of y'all have a blessed evening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.